Good morning, everybody. Scott left at a convenient time, right before service. No, I mean the day before. I mean, I don't mean literally like right before. I think if he was here, he wouldn't have left exactly before. I think he would have stayed through there. But praise the Lord. You know, we were going through John last night, and one of the things that Jesus did, and it was the time when we're at that time where the high priest and the Pharisees were giving up Jesus to Pilate. And, you know, to understand that when Jesus was in that place, he was fully man, was one that the recognizing that in itself is something that is, you look at that and go, wow. But what he did, the choice that he made of laying down his life. Look, they didn't go and take it. We read that part where when they went to go, they came with torches and lanterns and swords. Like they were going to take him by force. Like by against his own will. But as soon as he said, I am he, the one who saw it, they fell back to the ground. It definitely was a choice. And if you go to verse, you know, I think John 10:18 was what we looked at. And in that John 10:18 where he talks about no man taketh his life from him, but he lay it down. Let me read it because I'm about to butcher it. It says 10:18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Look, he chose to do that. That was a choice that he made. And then when you look and when you see yourself, let me put it away. When I look and I see myself and Jesus laying his life down for my sorry hide, I go, wow. What love. But the other point I wanted to bring up too in the midst is in 19, and not that I'm some kind of special, and he did it just for me personally. He didn't sit down for Philip in there. But he laid it down for all that would receive him. And when you go to John 18, and it says in 39, but you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. And you look at what happened here. I mean, and as I was looking at that, you had Barabbas, a robber. He was definitely guilty. You had Jesus that was not guilty. And you see Jesus really taking his place. You know, Jesus took the place for all of us there. For all of us. Then I look at it and I go, are you really going to receive that? Look, he did the work there. He took your place there upon the cross. Not that you, if you would have went to the cross, it would have done anything for yourself or anybody else. It wouldn't have. But He chose to do that. It was Scripture. He died for us while we were what? Yet sinners. Christ died for us. It didn't say when you had everything right. It didn't say when you had it all in one sock. It didn't say any of those things. No. While we were at our worst. And you know, and what's our testimony? Our testimony isn't one of, man, when I got myself together and then I received the Lord. No, it was when I got myself in such utter mess and destruction and a road to hell, somebody loved me enough to preach me the gospel that I may receive Him, and He took me out of the mire. See, all too far, you know, as I listen and as I look around, I see that all too far, what people want to testify of, they want to testify of themselves and how they stepped out in faith, or they walked in some goodness, or they made that great choice. See, they don't want to testify of, man, I got myself in a mess and the Lord saved me, and by His grace and mercy, He took me out of that. See, when you're ministering unto somebody else and the ones that are down in the dumps and that they know that they're going to go to hell, what are you going to minister unto them? Are you going to minister the love of Christ saying, you know, I was in the same position as you? Maybe not the same situation, but the same position. I looked around. It looked like no hope. I had put myself so far deep in a hole that it looked like there was no way out. But I cried unto the Lord, or somebody came and gave me the gospel, and I received it, and He took me out of that mire. What do you think somebody's going to hear the more? I mean, one, you can give them the gospel and it's up to them to receive it. Don't hear me wrong. But what is it that we preach unto others? What is it that we show unto others? Is it the love of Christ? Or is it how you made a right decision? Or is it you that finally made the right choice? See, it's never about us. It's about Him. His goodness, His righteousness, His choice of Him laying down His life for us. That's what saves, the other doesn't. It's by what He has done, not by what we have done. Now I want to go to Peter here for a sec. And you know, it was an interesting thing. I was listening to the men's Bible study. Didn't catch it Tuesday night. I think I caught it Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, one of those mornings. It's all kind of just running together right now. Praise the Lord. But when you saw at the end of it, they were talking about how when Jesus received that Spirit, that Holy Spirit came upon Him, the first thing that happened to Him was He was driven into the wilderness and didn't eat anything for 40 days or drink anything for 40 days and 40 nights, and then was tempted by the devil. Now, I tell you right now, I mean, that is one of just, when you look at that, you go, oh, praise God. And the point that was being brought up is, what the point that was that was brought up in the men's Bible study there was, see, to the carnal man, that would be like the opposite. I mean, when we think we, you know, receive that Holy Spirit in them, all of a sudden it'd be like, man, presto, change-o, you know. Everything's good, everything's great, everything's wonderful. I mean, and it is, praise the Lord. But that temptation was actually necessary. That trial had to come about. And don't you think it's going to be any different with us? I mean, I remember receiving Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Well, once again, and I'm sitting there in Mount Pleasant, and then all of a sudden, you know, I'm like, man, praise God. I mean, I received the biggest joy that I ever had. And I looked for it in drugs and all over, and every other place, could not find it. Just an empty hole, just another empty hole, just another empty hole. But that which Jesus did filled up that. And when he forgave me of all that debt, I knew it. And then when I started telling my friends about it there, right there in Mount Pleasant and my home was like the place where everybody came to. It was like party central. It's like, let's go to Philip's house. Let's go to Philip's house this weekend. And all of a sudden I started preaching Jesus, and all of a sudden there was nobody there. They were all gone. My own girlfriend was like, out the door. I'm going out for the night. Okay, you don't want to hang out? And then, nope. So I started looking around. I started realizing that, you know, I mean, praise the Lord in his grace and might. Really not seeing what's going on at that time, because I was really just clueless of what was going on. And I was like, you know, it was just like I started realizing, I'm by myself on Saturday night. I'll go see Paulie. He works night shifts and he stays up all night long. This is perfect. So I'd go to his house and hang out to 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And praise God, it was good for me. I come back home and people just wanted to leave again. They just did not want to stick around. But the rejection that happened in the midst of that was I was rejected. And I had people that hated me, that were very close to me, just all of a sudden hate my guts. I mean, when they hate, I mean, they would say all manner of evil against me. And all I was telling them was, hey, this is awesome. This is awesome. Except Jesus. He filled up that hole which was lacking in me. You can have the same thing. I would not want to have nothing to do with it. But I want to go to Peter for a second, because it is one that, I mean, as we go forward in the Lord, and if we will go forward in the Lord, is one of the things is that there's some trial that comes our way. There's some tribulation that comes our way. And for us to get through those trials and through those tribulations is just knowing that God is good, and whatever's going on is for our good. Whether it be seem evil, whether it's the enemy trying to come, steal, kill, steal, and destroy, because we know the power of God. We know how awesome he is and how he turns those upside, messed up situations right side up. I mean, that's our testimony. And that's the thing that we should be holding on to. And you know, if we fall and we falter and we get our eyes looking in the wrong direction, I mean, I know y'all haven't experienced any of that, but did you know you can turn that around? Did you know you can just choose to believe him? Did you know you can count it all joy? Because you put your trust and your faith back in Christ Jesus and what he has done for you and the sufficiency of that sacrifice. And you can know that as he moved in your time and times past, that he will move yet again. But I want to go to Peter, and it says, first one. And I think I'll start in 6. We're in Peter chapter 1, verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now, when you're in manifold, if you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, if you're in that place, I'm telling you right now, it's really, I speak for myself, let me put it this way, it's not one that I go, oh, praise God. I mean, I tell you, I just had a day yesterday that was like the worst Saturday in my life at the tire shop, because I had nothing but issue after issue after issue after issue after issue after issue after issue, nonstop, like a beating me in the face. And I'm going, what in the world is going on? I've never seen it this bad. I've really never seen it this bad. This is ridiculous. Then it was like, and it was a hard day. Didn't stand very well in it. But praise the Lord, he was bigger than that day. And I got a new day. But what I needed to come to realize is that, you know what? It's through those trials, it's through those things that I have been through that actually strengthens my faith. And see, now there's an enemy out there trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And he wants to get your focus off of the Lord and onto yourself in the situation. But what he doesn't know is that which he uses actually is the thing that will have you grow in faith in Jesus Christ. And then I recognize, and as I look back in some of the things of where I'm managing at, well, one, people come to me a lot. I mean, they come to me a lot at work. A lot of people do. Well, one is because usually I get it done and is not blown back at them or waved away or any of those things. And two is that I've been through that thing, that I know how to solve that situation already. Now, I wouldn't have those answers if I didn't go through some trial in the back that gave me the answer that I had to fight through and diligently get through that trialing. And I'm telling you, it wasn't fun at the time. I had to figure this thing out. I had to do some research and look at this and try to find out what the issue was. But I found that issue through the grace of Jesus Christ. I found the answer to that problem. But at that time, going through that, it wasn't fun. But to get to where I knew that answer and know how to solve that situation, that's exactly what I had to go through. That's exactly what I had to go through. And those little tribulations, those little trials are the thing that help me benefit the company more and serve the Lord more and serve the customers and serve those people that are around me. Isn't that the same thing with us? When we go about ministering to somebody else, is that because you have went through something and you have a testimony of how good the Lord is and how awesome He is, and you know the answer to give that person? So you go through that trial for somebody else's sake. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? He went to the, got tempted of the devil right off the rip in the beginning of that ministry. And He chose to love all the way to the end, to the choosing of laying down His life. Did He do that for Himself? No, He did that for others. He did that for you. He did that for me. He did that for anybody who would receive the gospel. He did it for His creation. That there would be a way out of this road to destruction. I'm going to carry on. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Though it be tried with fire. Sounds like fun, doesn't it? Might be found unto praise and honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Look, that faith that the Lord has given you, His faith that He walked in, where He died and was resurrected and suffered that second death for us, that's more precious than anything. That's what matters more than anything on this earth. And if you will submit yourselves unto the Lord, if you will just choose Him daily, no matter what the situation is, no matter what kind of trialing thing comes your way, but you can trust that no matter what, if you're His, no matter what you're going through, it will be for your good and for others. So I say, no matter what's coming your way, do not get weary. Do not grow faint, because the Lord is bigger. And what He shows over and over again, that He's trustworthy. What He shows over and over again is that He loves you. And what He shows you over and over again, that He has something above you can ask or think. Take a look at Stephen. Went and preached the gospel unto the people. They stoned him. What did he see? The ultimate gift. Jesus Christ Himself coming down to get him. Or Him going up and seeing him, I don't know. But it was, enter in, thy good and faithful servant. And the process that we go through is to get shed of the unbelief. It's to get that clean heart. And it ain't just for you. It's for others. You don't know that situation or whatever that trialing thing that you might look at and go, oh my goodness, what is going on? Might be the reason why you're going through that is to minister to somebody else later on. That's how the Lord works. And if you're going to be a minister of Jesus Christ, when you see that come your way, you're not going to hide from it. You're not going to run from it. But you're going to face into it. Trusting in Him. Knowing that He's good and He's bigger than any situation. It's just like that eagle when Davy says, they'll mount up with wings as eagles. And I forget that one sermon, and I hope I don't mess this up. But me saying that probably will. But where that eagle sees that storm, that eagle has a choice, man. But what the eagle does is he turns into that storm, he locks his wings, and he just jumps off the edge, off the cliff. And the power of that wind, the power of that storm, takes him and shoots him right up over it. We need to start doing that. Instead of running, trying to run back into some hole in the cave when that storm comes. So the Lord's bigger in any situation or anything you got going on. We sing that song, He is an awesome God, right? He is an awesome God. Do you believe it? No matter what your struggles are, no matter what your issues are, no matter what you're facing, even when you look solely in yourself and you see, oh my goodness, that is messed up. You see your motives are all off. You see how wrong you are. You know, you might look at that and go, that's ugly. I didn't want to see that. So what if you didn't want to see it? If you didn't see it, there'd be no provoking to change. I mean, it's a praise the Lord you see it. Because then you go, Lord, I want that to change. I don't want to be like this anymore. Lord, help me. Have mercy on me. I give it to you. He goes, I'm glad you repented from it. Look, I'll take it off you so you can be free from it. Now go forward in me, is what he says. Go forward in my gospel because I died for that. I paid the price for that. And stand up, not in yourself, but in me. I have given you my armor. And nothing can withstand that. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. I've been thinking a lot about the gospel. And this morning, I'm not quite settled on what order I'm going to go. Let's go to John 7:24. Well, you don't have to go there. It's only one verse I'm going to look at. You have events happen around you and you contemplate where people are. in their walk with the Lord, or not so much, as the case may be. And it's a sad thing when somebody breathed their last and the last thing they did was reject the gospel. Jesus said, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. James 2. You know, I ought to put this thing on a stand because I don't have enough hands up here for this. I don't know if that's going to work. Here we go. It's going to feed back. Is that what it's going to do here? All right, I'll make it work. Where did I say James 2? My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto you, unto your assembly, a man with gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, love that description. Vile raiment. That's me. And ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand there here, or sit under my footstool. That is an example of judging with unrighteous judgment. Judging according to appearances. Let's go to Luke. Luke 23:39. Now, if you judge according to appearance, there are three guys hanging on a cross, one to each cross, one cross, one person, three crosses, three guys hanging. You assume they deserved it. And what happens here in this passage is, you have the two guys that are hanging alongside of Jesus, and they're doing the same thing the crowd's doing. They're mocking him, saying, you know, if you be the Lord, save yourself. Then one of them has the gospel revealed in him. And he says, Lord, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And I'm thinking to myself, you know, this would be a place where I would have understood if Jesus had said, you know, just a minute, I'm kind of dealing with something here. As I know, I would like to think I'd do better than that, but I know better. I know myself. But Jesus didn't react that way. And The word says the gospel is the power of God unto those who believe. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." He saw him for the innocence. Just the way he conducted himself on the cross. He didn't justify himself. He didn't try to defend himself. And the power of the gospel got revealed to this criminal on the cross. Philippians said, enduring the humiliation of a cross death, the death of a criminal, Jesus left his divinity in heaven and came down to earth to die for the sins of the world, to take our place on the cross, paying a debt we owed that we couldn't pay. Just because they killed us and took our lives because we're guilty, that didn't pay the debt. And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Didn't get any sweeter than that. Colossians 1:9. This is a prayer of Paul's for this church. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." You know, how many of us don't need that prayer prayed for us? We might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, this verse 11 is a verse that sounds contradictory in itself. Long-suffering and joyfulness, not two things that go together. But what this is really saying is being strengthened by understanding, learning His faithfulness, His reliability. And having been a partaker of His long suffering my way through this thing, I can joyfully give that to somebody else who can receive the gospel. Giving thanks to the Father, which hath made us meet, fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. When they're hanging up here on the cross, the darkness is all around them. That thief got translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus's kingdom, the kingdom of God. That is both amazing, it's powerful, and it's like our God. He's good, and his grace and mercy are everlasting if you receive it. And you've received it here. You've heard it here. Time's coming when you're going to be held accountable for what you've heard. Don't reject it into eternal damnation. Receive it and profit now because of it. Let him show you his goodness. Let him show you the Colossians 1:11 is not a contradictory, conflicting statement. It's an opportunity for you to partake in all that goodness that he has and be able to show other people how good he's been to you, to give you a testimony of his goodness, of his deliverance, whether it be the thief on the cross or me on my knees in utter despair of life itself. He reached down and touched me and gave me life. I know Phil had the same experience. Amazing, the happy coincidence that some girl had taken the CPR course the day before he overdosed and almost died horizontal. Lord is good. Don't go away from here without getting yourself right with the Lord. Done.